Hello and welcome to 7 Days of Gaming, the biggest stories from the last week in the PC gaming world. I'm your host Alex Pace, and this episode covers the week from the 31st of March to 6th of April 2017. We've got Steam Store Overhaul, HTC Vive Subscription Plan, Terraria Otherworld suffering major delays, Andromeda gets fixed a little bit, and Mad Cat's file for bankruptcy. Let's get to it. Yet another game is set to be made into a movie. We Happy Few from Compulsion Games is an alternate history dystopia occurring in 1960s England. In a small isolated town, residents are forced to take a hallucinogen that both makes them feel happy and easy to control. You play as someone who refuses to take the drug and must uncover the mystery behind it all. It will be produced by Gold Circle Entertainment of Pitch Perfect fame, who have also signed on the recently announced Sleeping Dogs movie. DJ2 Entertainment is also in on the partnership. The announcement is slightly odd considering the game hasn't actually left early access and doesn't even have a release date. HTC have launched the first ever subscription model for a VR app store, named Viveport Subscription. For around $9, players can get unlimited access to apps of their choice, which can be switched out every month and tried for free beforehand. The platform offers over 50 different apps, and a month's trial subscription can be had for free. In other Vive news, HTC have revealed an advertising solution for VR games. 360-degree video and poster-like 2D ads will be able to be inserted into the actual game worlds, with the caveat that the title must be released for free. The system will also be able to feed data back to the advertisers, including eye tracking that captures how often and for how long a player looks at a certain ad. After a brainstorming meeting with YouTubers Total Biscuit and Jim Sterling, Valve are looking at more ways to improve the Steam Store. By using a combination of data and more focused and effective curation, Valve believe they will be able to create a personalized storefront that will only show users games they will be legitimately interested in. They also believe they will be able to effectively kill off bad games by making them invisible. The data used for the system will be available to everyone, allowing better and quicker analysis of any problems that come up. Valve want to make sure that bad games don't look like they're actually getting a lot of attention when they really aren't, something that happens when they are featured on a user's store page. To create a better focus on curation, Steam Explorers is being introduced, a system where players buy a game from a specific list, then evaluate it on certain criteria. Participants will be rewarded with special badges and access to private forums, as well as a once-a-week, no-strings-attached refund. It is similar to the now-defunct Greenlight system, with players this time round having a better incentive to take things seriously and not abuse it. Other improvements will allow curators to make and display lists of games, as well as make it easier for devs to distribute copies of their game without the use of keys, cracking down on key fraud. Valve makes it clear that none of this is set in stone, and most of it is likely a fair few months away from public release. Details and concepts are likely to change, but the end result is promising. A new ambassador program has been launched by Women in Games in the UK and Europe, aiming at doubling the number of women working in games over the next decade. The 43 women who have volunteered so far will offer support and advice to women and girls, helping them to better understand and have knowledge of the opportunities within the games industry. They will talk to schools, colleges, universities, the general public, industry and educational leaders, and local governments. The whole thing is backed by Google's Women Tech Makers and has already had a great response with initial workshops. Peripheral maker Mad Cats have slid down the slippery slope and are now falling off the cliff of bankruptcy. The company has ceased operations and has begun the liquidization process. This comes a week after it was delisted from the New York Stock Exchange for having exceptionally low prices. It lost $11 million last year and laid off 37% of its staff, but all to no avail. CEO Karen McGuinness thanks her employees for their continued efforts and explained they tried every method they could to keep the company moving forward. This is not the kind of bankruptcy they will be coming back from, and McGuinness and all her executives have resigned. In game release and update news, unfortunately, the somewhat anticipated LEGO City Undercover PC port has been marred by graphics issues. It has been described as akin to a kid-friendly GTA, and features an undercover cop trying to catch a master criminal. Having been ported over from the Wii U 4 years after release, it has found itself plagued by a non-deliberate resolution lock-in, refusing to go to the background when alt-tabbing, the lack of a windowed mode, no mouse support, and a hard time switching between keyboard and controller. Although the last few LEGO games were much better suited to the PC, this latest result is a disappointment. The only current response from the developers was posted on the Steam forums by a member of the LEGO Worlds forum. They passed on a message saying they are aware of the Alt-Tab and windowed mode issues, and they are working on fixing these ASAP. The other problems were strangely not mentioned. Terraria spin-off Otherworld has suffered a major setback, with Dutch developer Engine Software no longer writing the game. Relogic, the makers of Terraria, announced Otherworld in 2015, detailing a quest to cleanse the world of the corruption by activating various purifying towers. The game would include a skill tree and strategy, RPG, and tower defense mechanics. In July last year, Relogic said the title needed quite a bit of work, and a good bit of rework in a number of areas. To better align the game with Relogic's vision, Engine Software's lead designer and art lead were replaced. Now Relogic say this hasn't worked out, with the game being equal parts behind schedule and far away from the original design. It will be given a fresh start with Pipeworks, who did work porting Terraria to console and mobile. Relogic say they didn't want to sacrifice quality in an effort to make a quick buck, and they hope this short-term sacrifice will pay off in the long term. They will examine Otherworld with Pipeworks from top to bottom, and say this will take quite a while. Information suggests the project suffered from mismanagement, with 2D artist Simon Butler saying in a short stint working on the game, "People have collected a salary and done nothing on the project for a year." He said when he started, there was no game design document and no obvious task for him to begin working on. Sins of a Solar Empire, Rebellion, has had an engine update, allowing double the RAM usage, which reduces crashes and opens up opportunities for modders, updating texture and shadow quality, revamping the UI for 4K screens, reducing stutter and lag, and introducing more challenge to the AI. Although the game released in 2012, it received a new DLC last year, which is likely why it is getting a do-over. The update is also free, a nice change to the myriad of games charging players a second time for a HD remake. Mass Effect Andromeda has received a small update, with the devs promising more to come. Fixed this time round are a variety of issues, including save games not working, Ryder moving in a zigzag pattern, incorrect music and voiceovers, lackluster eyes on humans and Asari, and incorrect lip-syncing and facial acting, the fix for this last issue also applying to languages other than English. Some improvements were also made, allowing players to skip ahead when traveling between planets and increasing inventory size. A further 2 months of patches have been planned, adding more options and variety in the character creator, improvements to hair and general appearance, wouldn't we all need that, ongoing adjustments to cinematic scenes and animations, and amendments to various characters' dialogue. BioWare continue to encourage people to give feedback on both good and bad experiences, and restate they are committed to their fanbase. The latest game from the Saints Row series is Agents of Mayhem, a cartoony, third-person, open-world action game. It has announced it will be releasing worldwide on August 18th and August 15th in North America. The game allows you to switch between agents on the fly as you complete missions in near-future Seoul, and follows on from the Saints Row 4 DLC, Get Out of Hell. Total War, Warhammer 2 has been announced, this time following the Lizardmen, High Elves, Dark Elves, and a secret faction as they work together to stabilize or defend the Vortex. Each of the four races will have its own specific objective that they must accomplish in their own way. Developers The Creative Assembly say the game will culminate in a cataclysmic series of events, and is also the first Total War game where the AI can beat you to the objective. Owners of the original game will also be able to play on a large combined map, which stitches together the old and new worlds. The title is expected to release later this year. In esports news, the third season of the CSGO Esports Championship will take place in London's Wembley Arena, pitting 10 European teams against each other for a share of the $1.5 million prize pool. Organisers FaceIt have also struck a partnership with Genius Esports, integrating technology that collates real-time data into performance reports and predictions, as well as monitoring betting across bookies, keeping an eye out for dodgy gambling practices. The technology was developed in response to match-fixing and skin-betting concerns within the industry. And the only major result this week was Chinese team Invictus Gaming beating mixed team OG 3-0 in the Dota 2 Asia Championships, taking home over $240,000. The top sellers on Steam this week were PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, Game of the Year Edition, GTA 5, H1Z1, King of the Kill, Nier Automata, CSGO, Dying Light, The Following, Ark Survival Evolved, Ghost Recon Wildlands, and Rainbow Six Siege. Finally, my favourite story of the week was, someone else has caught the whiff of movie franchise money. Activision say they are planning potentially years of Call of Duty films, taking inspiration from the highly successful and interwoven Marvel Cinematic Universe. Activision co-presidents Stacey Scher and Nick Van Dyke say they will plan for a first movie possibly as early as next year, and if that is successful, move on to films that tie in with each of the Call of Duty sub-brands. They say there'll be a film that feels more like Black Ops, the story behind the story. The Modern Warfare series looks at what it's like to fight a war with the eyes of the world on you. And then maybe something that is more of a hybrid, where you're looking at private, covert operations while a public operation is going on. Van Dyke adds they want to do the same as Marvel has in having these individual universes that interconnect and a timeline that makes sense with consistent themes and Easter eggs. The pair also went so far as to suggest a TV series featuring various historical conflicts. Well, if it worked for Transformers. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/7daysofgaming. Get snazzy rewards and perks in return for everything you donate going towards improving quality and equipment. Whoever signs on before we reach $20 a month will enter into the Hall of Fame, where you can have two links of your choosing displayed on the website. Thanks a bunch for listening to the episode. You can check out the show at 7daysofgaming.com and sign up to the email list, where you get a new podcast in your inbox every week. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Twitter at 7_D_G, leave a like on the Facebook page, and join the Steam group. We're also on YouTube, where the show is quick and easy to find if you don't have access to your usual podcast device. Any kind of feedback is welcome. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and say what you think about the show, or drop by the website and leave me a note. Please do share the show around to anyone you know who's interested in PC gaming. Keep them current. Thanks to Rocco W for the music, and see you next week.